The White House is signaling that President Obama's State of the Union speech will be short tonight and will be directed more at the American people than at the Republican-controlled Congress sitting in front of him, making the case for his executive actions on guns, reassuring a jittery electorate that they are safe after the recent attacks in San Bernardino and Paris, even though the Republican candidates are telling them they are not. But what will the president say about race relations? 2014 saw that rash of shootings of unarmed black men. 2015 saw Freddie Gray and Sandra Bland die in police custody, and a white supremacist murder 9 blacks in a church in Charleston. The president delivered a eulogy with this powerful moment.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound.
Kerry Haney is Associate Professor of Political Science and African American Studies at Duke University. Professor Haney, Kerry, start there. Some African Americans said they wished they'd seen that sooner. Your thoughts?
That moment, I think, symbolizes his entire presidency, that he spoke about race in moments of crisis and not in everyday, ordinary circumstances. And I think there is some disappointment among African Americans because of that.
Yeah.
But I think the long-term view would be a much more positive evaluation of the president on race.
How so?
If you look at the particular policies that the president led the charge for and in fact, enacted, he laid the foundation and groundwork for a much more improved situation for poor people and people of color. I'm thinking here about the Lilly Ledbetter Act.
Lilly Ledbetter, calling for equal pay for women.
And extending the period in which workers have a right to challenge unfair treatment.
Mm-hmm.
That will benefit people of color and poor people as well as women in general. Dodd-Frank, that, you know, reformed Wall Street and the financial industry, but it also created the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And that bureau ensures that consumers are treated fairly when it comes to credit cards, mortgage loans, and student loans. And it's often people of color and poor people who are the victims of unfair practices in those regards. The Fair Sentencing Act, that act calls for more equitable treatment for sentencing between cocaine and crack offenses. So over the long period, the long haul, and if you look at collectively what the president has done, I think it's a very positive record.
You're talking about building infrastructure. His critics are talking about more symbolic things that they could see and touch. Michael Eric Dyson of Georgetown is one of those critics in the current Politico magazine. He says, for instance, that Charleston moment was a comfort but came too late. He makes the case that, in fact, in his early presidency, Obama was more likely to chide his black critics. One example in a speech, he said, "Don't use poverty as an excuse for not raising your child." And that Barack Obama said that the slurs against him, you could see them in signs that people held up when he made public appearances. They didn't bother him. But Dyson says, well, maybe that's true. You're isolated or you have a thick skin. But vulnerable blacks, like the 9 in Charleston, ended up dead. Is that fair? I mean, he comes to the edge of blaming President Obama for that horrible surge of racism in Charleston.
I understand Professor Dyson's point, but I think it's an unfair point. And I think it's a point that reflects a social media analysis rather than a long-term social science analysis. Sure, the president has the bully pulpit and can be a symbolic leader, but it's not who he is. I mean, he's not the firebrand civil rights leader. He's never been that, and he's not going to ever be that. And he did, you know, and when Charleston happened, Trayvon Martin, he also gave,
right.
I thought, very heartfelt, personal comments to the nation about that could have been him.
Or his son. But as you point out, yes, in 2012, he said that about Trayvon Martin. In 2009, he spoke out about the arrest of scholar Henry Louis Gates at his own home, said it was kind of stupid.
Yes, exactly.
But there was tremendous backlash against that, and that's when he seemed to withdraw. It feels that after Ferguson, when he sent the Justice Department in, that something seemed to change in his later presidency.
You know, and I think that's part of what's missing in the analyses of folk like Dr. Dyson. And that is that the president is not a sole actor. He's not a dictator. He operates within the policy world in Washington and the country in which it's give and take. My guess is, I suspect, that the president always had in his mind the policy agenda he wanted to get passed. And to engage in a full-fledged debate on race might help derail some of the policies that have meaningful impact along the way. And that's not to minimize the importance of the symbolic politics. I think that's extremely important. I think the president could have been better there, but I don't think it's the failure that Dr. Dyson and others make it out to be.
No. Do you think that part of what's happening when you try to analyze Barack Obama and through the prism of race is that, well, as Andra Gillespie of Emory put it in The Root, many Americans were seduced by this notion of a post-racial movement, that the election of Barack Obama was the end of debate, but in fact it was the beginning of a huge upset for many Americans.
I think that's absolutely correct. And it's also the case that there were tremendous and unrealistic expectations. And I get that. I mean, it makes some sense, right? Here's the first time we've had a black president. You would expect some attention to these issues. But to look to this person, and this is a general pattern in the country, that you look to the victims of racism to be those who solve those problems. And that's somewhat unfair, I think, and certainly unrealistic to have Barack Obama be the one to solve these issues.
Right. Well, and many Americans didn't get to see the racism that President Obama got to see. If you're not listening to Glenn Beck saying that President Obama has a deep-seated hatred for white people or Rush Limbaugh, Barack the Magic Negro was a song that he regularly played. I mean, if you're not seeing the signs being held up, talking about them, they're kind of obscene, so we can pass on that, but racist and obscene, you may not understand what everybody's talking about, you know, what the complaint is, that, wow, he had all this racism. Why didn't he point it out more so that people could understand that that racism was being felt by many other black Americans, not just the president?
You know, I think there's a generational divide here as well. And I see this with my students at Duke and as I travel around. I grew up at a time in the South. I'll be 53 years old this year. My first grade class in Kannapolis, North Carolina, was the first one that was required to be integrated. And I remember my parents telling me growing up that people will say things and do things, but you don't let that destroy you. And in fact, you don't let it appear outwardly that it bothers you. You keep going. And I suspect the president has some of that backing and that background as well. Certainly, he was affected and hurt by some of the signs and the things that were said. And to suggest that the president's not bothered by those things because he didn't show it, I think, is unfair.
Well, and to continue your thinking, you know, he's not quite part of the civil rights era, but he is of more towards your generation. He's not quite part of the Black Lives Matter generation.
And I do think that the current millennial generation has a short view of history. When folks analyze the president and his presidency, they don't take the long-term view of history. And by that I mean to see how far we've come and to put what he's done into some context. It's a tremendous record, given that he's the first person of color to hold the office.
You're obviously saying that history will judge this presidency. But do you think it will judge it as he's campaigned a president or a candidate who just happens to be black or as a black president?
Oh, I think it's clear that he'll be judged as a black president. I mean, some of the opposition and the nature of that opposition to this president is because he's a black president. And I think that's the reaction.
Yeah,
and I think
that's the reality.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and so Kerry Haney, as the president wraps up the last year and looks to the next one, what do you want to hear him say tonight regarding race?
That he has to talk about that there needs to be some racial healing and some acknowledgement of the race problems that we have in this country and that continue to affect ordinary Americans. Mm-hmm. In the ways that he did with that eulogy that you played earlier, he has to have an emotional connection and talk directly about race, inequality, and poverty.
That's Kerry Haney, director of the Center for the Study of Race, Ethnicity, and Gender in the Social Sciences at Duke. Professor Haney, thank you.
Thank you.